This is a very short story called Don't Blame Bill, and I have to tell you something about it. It's actually better suited to the written page than the spoken word, and the reason for that is that throughout these 600-some-odd words, there are several breaks, and each break is intended to show a passage of time. On the page, I can do that with a line of dashes or some asterisks. Spoken, I have to pause. So the story isn't really over when I pause for a second or two, and it doesn't really end until after a very brief postscript. It's called Don't Blame Bill. As you can tell from the very first page I wrote, I fully expect to die, and so that was my will, who gets what and all. This page is more of an explanation of my current circumstances, and I hope you'll understand. Everything was all right back here in the shack. We were pretty well prepared to sit out until spring. Even the blizzard, heavy as it was, didn't mean much, as we had plenty of provisions and I'd dug the latrine deep. It is obvious, though, that I hadn't reckoned on the roof beam breaking, but break it did, and in came the roof and most of two walls. The beam hit me square in the shoulder and knocked me down, and as you can no doubt tell from the position of the beam and my broken bones, it ended up hard across my two legs, just above the knee. As to the matter of pain, I can tell you that at first it hardly hurt at all, even for some while after I regained consciousness. Later, in what I think was the second day, it hurt a lot, but that didn't seem to last too long. This might have had something to do with the way the snow fell on me, covering my lower legs where the beam was. I believe the cold was mostly responsible for my present numbness. One consequence of the damn roof breaking is that it knocked over the map table, so now I have the backs of our geologic survey maps to write on. Sadly, the pantry was not so affected, and I can only stare at the can of pork and beans on the shelf. I never thought much about such things, so I'm purely ignorant as to which of my situations will do me in first, the cold, the starvation, or something concerning my legs. I can't see it, but I know I've got some loss of blood or something. I think several days have passed since the roof fell. I keep sleeping, or maybe passing out. I haven't mentioned Bill, but it's important that you should know some things. First, smart as he is, he can't figure out that I would like very much for him to fetch me that can of beans. He's a good dog, and he spends a lot of time curled up against me, and that keeps us both warm, but somehow I imagine he's doing it mostly for my benefit. Bill is looking pretty skinny now, and I don't guess he's eaten since the roof fell. I haven't even seen him leave the shack, even though he could. I get real bad dreams, and I'm dizzy. I think I just slept for a long time, but I'm still real tired and may take another nap. Bill is with me all the time now. When you find me dead, I kind of expect you'll find Bill alive. He's been a good boy, and I told him that after I'm gone, if he was starving, he could have such meat as I might provide. Should he choose to do this, I don't want you to hold it against him, as it was my wish. Don't blame Bill. A postscript. Dear Mrs. O'Hara, you have my deepest sympathy. In addition to the enclosed will and letter, I'm enclosing your son's other personal effects. Most importantly, let me add that when we were able to get back to the cabin in May, we found two skeletons. And that was Don't Blame Bill, a very short story.